away at those. And so, you, like I said, you guys have asked some really good questions. I've thoroughly enjoyed going through this series. Hopefully you guys have as well, but I'm having fun. So hopefully you guys are as well. But in here, I was reading this, we were looking at this, and people were asking, how are the end times and how will the end times play out? And usually what happens is that, you know, I put together my message and then I go and look at the slides for the PowerPoint. I put this all together. And every week my daughter says, "Dad, how many slides did you make?" And I'm like, I feel like I'm the kid because I'm like, I don't want to tell you. She's like, "Dad, how many?" You know, and so usually like 20 is you know, because you know me, I got to get the scripture and all that. So usually about 20, 21, it starts getting, I'm not going to tell you how many slides I have this week, but it's a little bit more than that. She's like, "Dad." So in here, actually, I'm going to have to break this up because usually we go in Bible study, we finish up the book of Revelation. It probably took us 6-7 months to go through the book of Revelation. So to try to condense all this down into just a little bit for you to go home, you know, before supper time, it's a difficult chore. So we're going to kind of go fast forward a little bit. But the questions go along with it. So next week, we're going to talk about the rapture, what the Bible talks about the rapture. So I'm going to ask the question on that. And then also in Revelation chapter 17, talks about the harlot. And there's a chapter that talks about she rides a beast, and what is that all about? So that should be interesting. So I'm going to try to bring those things in this week because I could not squeeze them in this week. Hopefully in your bulletin you got one of these handy-dandy guys to kind of help you on the journey so you can follow along and where we are. So like I said, there's a lot of information. I just want to make sure you have something to go home with. But we started looking at sort of the time frame of the end. And there's really, I think there's four major passages. I mean, there's minor prophets who talk about some of these things as well. But really, when we start looking at the time frame, there shouldn't be that much question on it. I know denominations have different flavors of all those things. But I think the Bible's pretty clear, and that's why I wanted to cover these passages and look at how consistent Scripture is. Right? We started talking about how things are going to unfold. And the question is, you know, why do we even care? You know, the end's going to happen when it happens. God's going to come when God's going to come. So why should we be concerned over that? But one of the things I find that end time doctrines really are a reassurance to the church. And I know a lot of pastors that won't go through the book of Revelation because it can be kind of scary. There's things that we don't know, right? I'm not afraid to say I'm not sure. Right? Here are a couple different views and this is a couple different things and you know, I'm not concerned over having every detail down right. But as we live in the days around us, I don't know if you noticed, these are crazy times. Have you noticed that? You know, up is down and down is up. And, you know, I find myself, you know, turning on the news in the morning, I'm like, did I miss anything? It seems like something huge is happening every day. Try to keep up with it all, and we just kind of moved on. It just struck me. You know, it was a week ago that Trump was shot at. And now we've kind of just moved on to something else. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, it's just like crazy world is. And I think as Christians, sometimes we get caught up in this world of hopelessness, really. And we got to be careful of that. You know, are we in the end times? I don't think so. I think we're getting close. I can say with all certainty that we're closer than we were 2,000 years ago. Right? I think I'm solid on that. But we see this reassurance of Christians. Because the disciples were asking Jesus in Matthew 24, which is one of the major passages, because Jesus does lay out sort of a timetable of end times. But Matthew 24, it says, "Now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately," this is Jesus, "telling him, when will these things be, and what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age?" Right? Throughout the Old Testament, there's prophecies of the Messiah coming and setting up a kingdom here on earth. And that hasn't happened yet.
And so the disciples are getting anxious. They say, Lord, when is this going to take place? When are these things going to happen? Right? Were you saying that 2,000 years? Right? Lord, when are you coming? That's nothing new for the church. The hope we have is Christ's return. And Jesus answers them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Right? We see this today. Here's Christ, the Messiah. Right? We have all these false religions going around. There we have people declaring things in the name of God. How do you know it's true or not? I think, especially as Christians, it's so important for us to know the Bible. So we can detect what's true and what's not. There's a lot of, I'm going to use a big theological term here. There's a lot of hooey out there that you just disregard. And just because someone uses a verse or has a title doesn't mean it's true. You have to know the word and be in it. But don't be alarmed, because these things are going to happen. Wars and rumors of wars. Once again, if you turn on the TV, the whole world's upside down. But notice what he says in the midst of these things. See that you are not what? Troubled. Christian, you have no need to run around with a chicken with its head cut off. That's probably very politically incorrect. Right? Christians, we should not be freaking out. One, if these are the signs of the times, right, and we are getting closer to the end, then Christians, we should rejoice, because that means Jesus is coming. Amen? We should find a hope in that. In this world, our job hasn't changed. Our job is to share Jesus Christ with a lost world. That hasn't changed. Now, I think it's going to get harder for us, right? I'm sure some of you have faced that kickback on Facebook or around people who are kind of pushing against you because of your faith, right? So it might get harder, but our job hasn't changed. Our job is to share Jesus Christ with the world around us. So he says, look, don't be troubled. Christian, watch the news, right? Sometimes you got to turn it off. I'd get that way. Now, turn on the news. My wife's like, turn it. She goes, why? Because my blood pressure, my temples are throbbing, right? Turn it off. Get away from it for a while. Get my eyes on Jesus. But in here, throughout history, we see these reoccurrences. Remember, we said four passages really talk about the time frame of the end. One is in Daniel, and Daniel was in Babylonian captivity. And so here Israel was being captive, and in there, God gives that message that he will restore things. That's that hope, right? While Israel was lost, God gave them hope that they'll be found. The disciples, we just read this in Matthew, right? They said, Jesus, when are the signs of their coming, right? When are these things going to happen? The disciples were getting anxious because they thought Jesus was the Messiah, was going to set his kingdom up right now. And Jesus had been preaching for 3.5 years. Persecution is starting to rise up. The Pharisees are seeking to kill Jesus, right? Rome is kind of being stirred up. All these things are taking place. And the disciples are like, Jesus, how long? And he says, look, don't let your heart be troubled. The third passage is to the Thessalonians. And this is in contrary. Now, this is in 2 Thessalonians. It's called 2 Thessalonians because it's right after 1 Thessalonians. You have 1 and 2. It's kind of how that works. And in here, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells them that God has promised them that they won't be going through the tribulation. So 2 Thessalonians, the Thessalonian Christians under Rome were suffering persecution. And they're like, whoa, 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 is this the end time? So some people started to say, this is it. You guys are in the end times. Actually, some went even further than that. And they said, you've missed the Lord's coming. You've missed it. How sad would that be? Right? And so Paul writes 2 Thessalonians, and he lays down the time frame to reassure them they haven't missed it. And then the book of Revelations is the last passage. And in this is written to the churches who are suffering persecution. At this point, all the apostles have been killed, have been martyred. Rome has turned up. Jerusalem is overtaken. The temple has been destroyed. All these things are taking place. We see early in the book of Revelation, that the churches, there's corruption that's been going in. Churches have compromised. And so John writes Revelation to ensure the Christians, guess what? God wins. And that's a good message for us. Right? We see what's going on in the world. It seems like evil is winning oftentimes. And all these things, we look at the time frame, is to reassure you, God wins. Stay on the right team. He who endures to the end will be saved. So we start looking at sort of the events here. We talk about the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a 7-year period of great sorrow here on this world. And prior to that is that warm-up, if you will. And a couple of things are going to happen before the tribulation period starts. Right? There's going to be apostasy. People are going to start turning away from the faith. We see the Holy Spirit, this restraining force holding back, will be removed as well. 2 Timothy 4 says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Right? The call is for us as Christians, be sharing the truth of God. Right? Know the Bible, share the Bible, share the good news, the gospel to those around us. Right? Always be ready. Why? Because there are times going to come when they won't listen to it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all these things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The time's going to come where people do not want to hear the truth. That sounds just like today, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what the facts are. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be that way. You know, I try to get news from various different sources so I get different angles because everyone has an agenda, everyone has a spin, and literally, what is the truth? And I want to be people of the truth. I don't know about you. But there's a time when people don't want to hear that. And so in here, as the church goes, what Paul is telling Timothy is there's going to be a time when churches are now going to look to pastors and teachers who will tell them not what they need to hear, but will tell them what they want to hear. And I think we're living that day today. 2 Thessalonians says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask that you not be soon shaken in mind and trouble, either by the Spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless there is a falling away first. Right? That people were coming in telling the Thessalonians, you've missed it. The Lord's come back already. And they're like, we were left behind. And Paul says, no. I want to reassure you, a couple things have to happen first. One, there's going to be a great falling away. The term there means apostasy. People are going to be turning away from the faith. And we see that playing out today in groves. People who grew up, I mean, you probably know people who grew up in church, who said they were Christians, who now say they don't believe anymore. Right? That's that word apostasy. They're turning away from the faith. Deconstruction is one of those big terms. Go on the YouTube, look it up. Right? So many people, high-profile people, are turning away from the faith. Because I don't like what it's causing me to do. It's making me take stands that I'm not comfortable with. I'd rather choose the world than Jesus. And Paul says, look, those things are going to start happening. It continues on. It says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Paul is saying, look, there is a force in this world that says, okay, evil is only going to go so far. Right? Evil is working. We see this taking place. We see these things in motion.
As you read the book of Revelation, you know, Satan does not know when his time is coming.
And I think he's always trying to put his places in the play. We see this throughout history, right? People are like, oh, World War II. All the evil is in there. We see this throughout, right? And it seems like, oh, could this be it? Could this be it? And this is how I picture it. I picture Satan kind of building his blocks up. I'm going to get you, God, right? He's building up. And then God says, not time, and knocks them all over again. And we see Satan kind of puts it back up, and God says, nope, not yet time, and kind of knocks over Satan's blocks. But one of these times, that restraining force, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, will allow all things to go take place. So right now we see God is in control, and hopefully as a Christian it's reassuring to you that God is in control of these things. But the time will come when all these things will play out. But there is a restraining force taking place. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit, that God's going to take his Holy Spirit away from this world. And I think part of that, when the Holy Spirit goes, I believe the church is going to go. We're going to talk about the rapture next week, but I believe that's when the rapture takes place. The church started when the Holy Spirit came. And I believe the church will be taken up to God when the Holy Spirit is taken away. But just know that there's a restraining force right now. I think that's where we're in the age. We see these things gearing up. We see things falling into place. The question is, will God say, not yet? Or is this the one time where it's going to play out? So in here, we talk about sort of the pre-tribulation period. Right? Now we start into the tribulation period. And once again, tribulation period is 7 years. We're going to see this. And Daniel talks about 1 week. Let's say 7 years. Book of Revelation says 7 years. So it's going to be 7 literal years here on earth where literally hell will be poured out on earth. This is sort of the scary part of Revelation, right? And all these things start playing out. But in here, Revelation is cut in half, the first half and second half, 3.5 years and then the second 3.5 years. So we're talking about in the first 3.5 years.
What's going to kick that off, according to Daniel, is talking about the Antichrist. He will confirm a covenant for 1 week. Back a while ago, I think it was in Sunday school, there's some prophecies in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38 talks about the nations going into Israel. It talks about Russia, Turkey, Iran coming on to Israel. And I think that what kind of gears up in this. And so every once in a while, something pops up where we see sort of these peace treaties with Israel. And usually when that happens, I'm like, is this it? Because the Bible says that, look, there's going to be a peace treaty for 7 years that's signed with Israel. Jesus puts it this way. He starts talking about the first half of the tribulation period. He says, for a nation will rise against nation, a kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to be tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. So in here we start, and Jesus likens it to a woman giving birth and talks about the pains getting closer and closer and more intense and more intense. And we see this throughout the book of Revelation, that in here the judgments intensify as it goes on. And so Jesus says this is the beginning of sorrows. This is the first 3.5 years. Jesus talks about wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and all these things. Actually, you take Revelation chapter 6 and you compare that to Jesus and you see these things overlay just perfectly. That in here the judgments are starting to be poured out during the tribulation period. I believe the church will be gone. And in here, the Holy Spirit will be taken out. Antichrist will start putting things into place. In here, it talks about peace. We talk about that peace treaty with Israel will be signed, right? So the world will have a sense of peace. You know, all kind of be brought under. I believe one world government is going to be kind of playing into that thing. Then it talks about wars. And because of the wars, there's going to be famines. There's going to be death and pestilence. The fifth seal talks about martyrs, that those who will get saved during the tribulation period will be killed for their faith. One thing I think people
miss by not reading the book of Revelation is that thousands and thousands of people get saved during the tribulation period. It'd be too late for the rapture, but they will have a second chance. And in that, they'll have to endure some really hard stuff. I remember talking to a gentleman. He goes, well, look, if I'll get saved afterwards, I'll just wait. I said, well, read the book. It's not good. It's not fun. You're better off knowing the Lord now than you are then. Then the sixth seal in chapter 6 talks about the cosmic events and talks about a great earthquake and talks about stars falling from the sky, all those things, and lines up exactly what Jesus talks about. So during that first 3.5 years, we see these things taking place. Praise God. The book of Revelation says there's 144,000 witnesses, young Jewish men who are going to be going around the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's desire is to save people from the judgment. But unfortunately, men like darkness rather than light, and they would rather turn their back on God and suffer the penalties for those things. So we got that, right? So prior to the tribulation period, which I think that's where we are now, that in there we're going to see this apostasy. Many are going to start leaving the faith. We're going to see some of these rumors of wars, some of these things taking place, right? So don't be alarmed. There's going to be a peace treaty signed with Israel. And in that, under the guise of peace, if you will, we see this judgment starting to be poured out on earth. Then we get halfway through the tribulation period. Halfway of 7 is what? 3.5 years. You see this repeated in the book of Revelation. And this is really where things here on earth really kind of fall apart. That in here, halfway through the tribulation period, the Antichrist will come into power and in here declare himself God. The Antichrist will break his covenant against Israel. He'll turn on Israel. Then we have this really fancy term, the abomination of desolation. Right? That in here, the temple will be defiled. We're going to look at that just for a minute here. Daniel chapter 9 says, then he shall confirm a covenant with 1 week, right, for 7-year peace treaty with Israel. In the middle of the week, he will bring an end to the sacrifices and offering. And on the wings of the abomination shall be one who makes desolate, until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. In here, the Antichrist will go in. We're going to see that in Revelation here in just a second. But the Antichrist will now declare himself to be God, to be worshipped. That's halfway through the tribulation period. Jesus talks about this as well. That's why I wanted to point out these passages, right? Daniel, Matthew, and then we have Jesus' own words. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the hilltop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For there will be great tribulation. It's interesting as you read the scriptures. It talks about tribulation, which is bad. And that's in the first 3.5 years. The second half is called the great tribulation. Guess why it's called great? Because things get worse. Which is scary because you read Revelation, the first few chapters, like, oh, this is bad. It gets worse. And it says, so bad, so such as not since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. Unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So during the tribulation period, the last half of that great tribulation, it's only God's mercy that people survive that last 3.5 years. But we talk about that Antichrist, right? That abomination of desolation. When he goes into the temple, declares him God, he turns on Israel. That's what he's talking about. Jesus is talking about. Pray that your flight won't be in winter, right? You're going to have to run for your life. Revelation talks about that as well. 2 Thessalonians picks up this theme. It says, now, beloved, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken or troubled, neither by the Spirit or by letter, right? We talked about that. The name will come unless there is a great falling away. It says, and then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped,
So he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. So halfway through that 3.5 years, the one world government, the Antichrist will now declare himself to be God. He'll go into the temple and say, worship me. Verse 8, it says, and the lost one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroyed with the brightness of his coming. For the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. They should not believe a lie, that they will be condemned. Who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So in here, Antichrist is going to come. He's going to do signs and wonders. People are going to be amazed and worship him. By the way, it's after this in Revelation. Talks about the mark of the beast comes into play. I know prior to, remember when COVID first hit, and a lot of people were like, hey, is the vaccine the mark of the beast? No, these things all need to take place first. So in here, once again, the scriptures is reassuring. As we know the timeline, right, we don't need to panic and need to worry as we see things play out. The Bible gives us a sort of a time frame, much like the Thessalonians, right? They were concerned, oh no, we missed it. We missed the Lord. And now we're in the Great Tribulation. And said, no. These things need to take place first. So Christian, reassured, God is in control. It's not time to panic, right? And here are some of the things that need to take place first. Revelation talks about the Antichrist. And he uses language like the dragon. All right, we see later on the dragon is Satan, the beast is the Antichrist. So with that in mind, keep as we read this. Chapter 13, this is at the halfway point of the tribulation period. It says, the dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. We were talking about this a little bit in Sunday school. Some people are liking this when Trump got hit, and he said, oh, he's wounded in the head. I said, oh, this is God's chosen. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is talking about the Antichrist. So maybe some people would agree with that, saying that the Antichrist. But once again, it doesn't fit the time frame, right? They're just taking a verse out of context. So I can guarantee you this is not talking about Trump, right? But notice what it said. But the Antichrist will be struck and will be mortally wounded, not nicked, right? And to me, I always liken this. Satan doesn't create, he just replicates. And I think this is Satan's attempt through the Antichrist to kind of replicate Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Satan just deceives. But anyways, so in here, so the world will marvel. Oh, here's this great leader. It looked like he died. Now he came back. How did that happen? And he'll be exalted himself to be God. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Because who's behind it? It's Satan. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? And his mouth was given to speak great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. So now the Antichrist is going to finish off the tribulation period. And then he opened his mouth and blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell in the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So we got 7 years of tribulation. We have the 7-year treaty. Halfway through that, the Antichrist is going to break that treaty with Israel. He's going to get mortally wounded, and then he's going to declare himself to be God. And he will be worshipped. Part of the mark of the beast is that you take this as part of that worship. If you do not, you won't buy and sell. All those things is all tied into this event. And he'll continue on for the last 3.5 years. You with me so far? So we talk about the second half. So now the Antichrist has declared himself to God. There's going to be severe persecution. We just read that. In here, he'll have the power to persecute and kill Christians. There's two witnesses. Actually, on your paper, I made a mistake on yours. Talk about the death of the two witnesses. That should be at the second half, not the first half. So I apologize for that. So let's bring it around here, Revelation 13. So this is summing up the second half. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he performed signs. So even fire comes down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he has granted to do of the beast. So during the second half, like I said, he's going to declare himself to be God, the Antichrist, to be worshipped, to serve him. And in here, there could be signs and wonders to fool everyone into following him until the Lord returns. In here, we have the last of the signs are poured out. The judgments are poured out here on earth during the second half. It gets bad. The sea gets destroyed. Rivers are destroyed. Plant life is destroyed. Famine is widespread. Thousands upon thousands, if not millions, of people will die. You don't want to go through that ride. Then finally, we have the Lord returns. We have the second coming. Lord, this is Jesus' physical return here on earth. The set of his kingdom here. So we have cosmic signs. We have Christ's return. The battle of Armageddon takes place. The armies all gather. Revelation chapter 19 has this. It says, "Now I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes wars. His eyes are like flames of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen and white and clean, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh is written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Jesus comes back, and he declares his kingdom here on earth. So at the end of 7 years of tribulation, Jesus returns here on earth to fulfill those prophecies. Jesus refers to it in Matthew 24. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. So, folks, rejoice in that. God comes back. Jesus returns, and he wins. Don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed. God is in control. Revelation 20 continues on. We talk about the millennial reign of Christ. It's a 1,000-year reign that Christ will go. We see passages in the Old Testament that talks about the Messiah having his kingdom here on earth, so that Jesus will physically reign here on earth for 1,000 years. At the end of that, we have the final judgment. Revelation chapter 20 talks about the great white throne. So all those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior will all stand before the judge and give an account for their life of what they did with Christ. What a fearful day that will be. Because the books will be opened, the Bible says, and each man will be judged according to their works. But the ultimate judgment is because they did not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said he turned and he opened the Lamb's Book of Life. And those whose name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast in the lake of fire forever. So the question is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That you believe the gospel that Jesus Christ is God who came into this world, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for your sins and mine. And you believe that and trust in him. And he will forgive you of your sins. He will write your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will be spending eternity with him. If not, there is a literal, real place called hell. After 1,000 years, Satan's let loose for a little while. A great army rises up. And Jesus quickly dispatches that. And then we get into Revelation chapter 21. And it says, God created a new heaven and a new earth, for the old has passed away. And we just looked at that not that long ago. We talked about the idea of the new heaven and what's in store for us. To be no more tears, no more sorrows. Every eye that had tears on it will be wiped. What a day that will be, Christian. Endure. Encourage.
These things aren't here to scare us, it's but to encourage us. As we see what's going on in the news, God is in control. Christians, stand strong. Trust in Him. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today can be that day. As I said, the good news, the gospel, Jesus Christ came into this world, God in the flesh, lived a sinless life that He may die as your sacrifice for your sin. That through His blood being shed, you have remission of sin. Your sins are forgiven. He took the penalty for you. If you will accept that, give your life to Him. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. He goes, I will remember your sins no more. But those that believe in Him, you have the right to be called the sons of God. You're adopted into His family. Praise God. And what a hope we have. Christian, don't be dismayed. Right? Don't panic when we see these things. They're all necessary, all according to God's plan. Buckle up. Because it's going to be an interesting ride. But keep your eyes on the Savior. A lot of things along the way will try to distract you. I'm old enough to remember every Thanksgiving we'd watch The Wizard of Oz. My mom made us do it. I always think, what a good summary it is, because Dorothy had one job, stay on the yellow brick road. And the whole story unfolds because she doesn't. Christians, stay on the path that God has stored for you. Cling to His word. Know it. Don't be deceived. A lot of things are going to try to get you off the path. Know the truth. And Christians, we're all in this together. I think going forward, it's going to be more important to be part of a church. I mean, I praise God we have, I don't know, 100 and some people who will watch this online. And thank you for all those who watch it. But we need each other. We need a family of God to see us through and encourage us. I am blessed because you are here this morning. And hopefully you've been blessed as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I know we covered a lot of material, Lord. And Lord, I pray You just reassure us with the details. But also, Lord, reassure us with the big picture. Lord, You win. And Lord, we can win if we're with You. So in here, Lord, help us to share Your truth. This isn't some exclusive club. Lord, You want all to get saved. You're not willing that any should perish, but all would come to eternal life. Lord, as we see these things going on, Lord, help us to reach out more, to share Your truth, Your love with those around us, so that they may join us around the throne. Because You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Encourage us with these words, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen. All right, why don't we go ahead and stand and get you guys out of here.